Price. I had not planned on meeting with Dr. Christina Coughlin, State Ed Department, but I was going to be in Johnstown, so I called. It's hard to get an appointment usually with state ed people, and so they usually put you off. But I called and said, I'm going to be in the Albany area on Sunday. Could I meet with you on Monday? And she did have an appointment slot available at 1 o'clock tomorrow, so I'll be sticking around. Last night I stayed at Saving Grace Baptist Church, preached at First Baptist Church, Johnstown. Tonight I'm staying at Calvary Baptist Church here in Calvary, and that's kind of the way my life is once in a while. God has been very good to us. I thought I'd do, this is a three-part message. Now, part one is a ministry report. Part two, I'm going to depress you. And part three, I hope to encourage you. You know, it's a good day I did it in that order, otherwise you'd leave upset. This is my wife and mother-in-law. She's 90 years old. She has dementia. She came to live with us 3 years ago. She's getting progressively worse, but they don't use the word Alzheimer's, but it is some kind of dementia, just primarily the doctor believes by age. She gets very forgetful. She forgets. She refers to me some of the time as Barbara's husband, and because she can't remember Tom. Her son is named Kevin, and she gets him mixed up with our son named Kevin, who's named for his uncle. And sometimes she talked to her 60-year-old son on the phone a week or so ago and asked him what grade he was in now. So, and then afterwards asked Barb if he was married. Of course, he's married and he's got grandkids. But she is a godly woman, and we're very thankful for the privilege we have to take care of her. Now, I worked when we practiced. Arise Ministry is my primary ministry. Arise Ministry, I was working with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom, New Yorkers Family Research Foundation from 2000 to 2014. I'd been on the board of directors from about 1987, so it was kind of a natural thing, but new director, and I decided in 2014 it was time to launch out on my own. I met with a number of pastors, and we came up with the idea of continuing and calling it Arise Ministry. The theme verse is Isaiah 60, verse 1, Arise and shine, for thy light has come. From my boyhood days, my dad grew up on a farm, and more than one day or another, dad would open the back. So if I was supposed to get it by my own, but if I didn't, my dad would beller at the back door, rise and shine. Really, what we need to do is have the Church of Jesus Christ, born-again, Bible-believing believers, rise and shine and be the church. We could solve a lot of problems in this country. A number of things that are done there, primarily probably is encouragement. I preach in 65-plus churches, pastors, fellowships, and other things. I produce a series of booklets. There's now over 20 of them on issues called The Truth About. I didn't put out the World Religions and Cults. I do a weekly newsletter, though. There is a sign-up sheet for it. Some of you get it already. Barbara is the one who keeps me up to date. She packs the boxes. It's a lot neater when she does it than when I do it after the service tonight. But she keeps it up and tells me what I need to print and what needs to be done, and has been my ministry partner for a lot of years. By the way, we've been married 49 years. Next year is the year of Jubilee, right? And we're excited about that. Encouragement, this is a Northern Independent Baptist Fellowship, Northern New York, New York State. There's Pastor Wilton and some of the people up in that area. I'm also the executive director, as you know, for the New York Association of Christian Schools. NIACS does three basic things. We protect Christian schools, and that lately has been a more than a full-time job, trying to take care of some things, providing services to Christian schools, promoting Christian schools in the state. We do Christian Education Conference each fall. We do a leadership conference each spring in the last 3 years. We have done student leadership conferences, working with the American Association of Christian Schools. That's what we did last year. We're doing it again this year, a little different locations. Academic Fine Arts, your pastor helped lead that this year and did a wonderful job. We have an accreditation program. This is when we came to Latham and the team approved you for accreditation, so we're thankful for that. Accreditation program is a standard of excellence. I presented the plaque here, so you are probably all aware of that, but it involved a self-study, evidence of excellence, and interviews by the NIACS board. It's not a light thing. I did submit the paperwork to for this program to the Board of Regents, and the Board of Regents recognized it. So it's officially recognized by the Board of Regents, and that was recommended by the State Ed Department. So that was a good victory. I serve on the Commissioners Non-Public School Advisory Council. They just changed the name of this. It's now the Advisory Council for Independent and Religious Schools. And the office itself that had been closed there for a while, it was just absorbed into other things. It's now the State Office for Religious and Independent Schools, or SORIS. There are a number of things going on in that. North Star Bible Institute, I teach at. By the way, that's how Moses looked, if you wondered. Now, let's get to the tough part. I have a verse in the scripture that really kind of haunts me. It's on the back of my mind much of the time. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I love America, and I'm very thankful to have been born in America. This is a wonderful country. I was planning to go to Israel with your pastor, and that did not work out because Barb's mom is needing more attention than ever. Barb's sister is retiring, just retired at the end of June, and she's coming to take care of mom for 2 weeks so Barbara and I can have a vacation. That's beginning. She's coming Friday. I'm preaching at Friendship Baptist in Rome next Sunday. Barbara will be with me for the first time in a while. And then we are going to take a trip to Florida, including a cruise. So we're looking forward to that. But the timing was just not right. We just weren't able to put that together. America. I believe personally that the 2016 election gave us a reprieve on some of the pressing battles with religious freedom. Religious freedom was under pressure, under attack. There is a train track with two locomotives coming full steam at each other. One is religious liberty and the other is homosexual rights. And thus far in court cases, it seems like the wrong side is won. We got a reprieve. The 2018 election revealed that it's not enough. Reprieve is nice. What we really need is a return to God. America needs revival. Our churches need to be revived, and America needs to return to the God that founded it. Neither President Trump or any other president will ever make America great. It is God who made America great. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and only God can make us great again. I still think we're a great nation. Don't make any mistake, but we do need a return to God and to His Word. Andrew Cuomo was reelected governor of the state of New York on Inauguration Day. Took his oath of office on January 1st. He promised the most progressive agenda in New York State history. And what he calls aggressive, I call regressive, because we're going in the wrong way. We're going full speed. State legislature flipped control. The assembly for a long time has been 2-1. It was 107 Democrats to 43 Republicans. The Senate has been under the control for several years by the Republicans, and they stopped a lot of bad stuff. This is the group primarily that we were working with, New Yorkers. They didn't stop everything. Gay marriage got through, but they stopped a lot of bad things. Well, part of what the governor did is they pushed this year, and they did get the majority. There's 40 Democrats to 23 Republicans. That means the chairman of the majority leader, who basically has a lot of control over what's voted on in the Senate, is a Democrat. He appoints all the chairmen. All of them are Democrats. The committees are made up by the percentage, since it's almost 2-1. Every committee has 2-1 Democrats to Republican, plus one member. They always add that. And if it comes out a fraction, depending on the size of the committee, then they get that whole person. You can't cut a person in half. So that means that conservatives and Republicans have no chance of stopping anything in the legislature, and that's been the way it is. So right off the bat, a bill that was first introduced by Elliot Spitzer, the Reproductive Health Act, passed. This is a bill that swept aside all old abortion laws that were still in the books in New York State. If Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, the matter will go back to the states. In New York's case, we had abortion before Roe v. Wade, but it was very restricted. The governor wanted no restrictions, and that's exactly what they did. They removed abortion from the criminal code to the health code and basically said it was a woman's right to determine the outcome of her pregnancy. We found out what that meant when Governor of Virginia, who is a medical doctor, explained in a partial birth abortion or late-term abortion, the baby is born alive. He referred to it as an infant three times in a radio interview describing it. He said the infant is set aside and then resuscitated if that's the mother's desire, and then the mother and the doctor determine what will happen to the baby. So he was actually admitting the fact that the baby's born alive, takes its first breath, and the mother decides she doesn't want it, they could kill the baby. So it's abortion on demand for any reason. We fought for a lot of years a bill called the bathroom bill. It's GENDA, Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act. This is a bill that says, basically, you can change your gender, and you have a right to use whatever restroom or shower room that you identify with. So if today you feel like you're a male, you can use the male's room, even though you're a woman, or if you're a man and feel your feminine side, you can use the ladies' room. This is kind of insanity. What happens is, when you turn your back on truth, the only thing you have left is lie. And our culture has exchanged the truth of God for lies. So our culture, our basically our government officials primarily believe that a person can change their gender, that gender is fluid rather than fixed. The Word of God says, have you not read, he who made them in the beginning made them male and female. That's the two genders. It happened when you were conceived in your mother's womb, and there's nothing you can do about it. You can change your appearance, but you cannot change your gender. I think some of this is insanity, but that's exactly what Romans chapter 1 says happens when you reject God. Anti-conversion therapy, this was a counselor bill. If a 14-year-old boy says, I feel attracted to the same sex, I don't want to be a homosexual, tells his parents, "What can you help me?" They haul him off to a professional counselor. The professional counselor now, under law, New York State, cannot try to change the sexual orientation of a teen or minor. Does not apply right now to religious workers or non-licensed counselors, but it does refer to professional counselors. There's a heavy fine and even loss of license for doing that. It's based, again, on the premise, the truth of God is, can a person change? Can a homosexual change? The answer is yes. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul lists a whole bunch of sins, saying if your life is characterized by this, you're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. You're not saved. And one of them is effeminate. Another is abusers of themselves of mankind. And then he says, and such were some of you. Some of the Corinthians were saved out of those kind of lifestyles. You were that, but you are justified. You're sanctified. That is, you've been set apart by God. You've been cleansed. God will take care of any sin and can forgive any sin at any time. The Child Victims Act. I feel a little guilty about this picture, but it's the best one I came up with. I don't feel too guilty, but a little bit. This is a bill that removed the statute of limitations on suing criminal or civil for a person who's been abused. Now, I've been in the ministry now over 50 years. That's the way it is. And I can tell you, we did things differently back then. We had a group of kids in my first church, girls that were called Pioneer Girls, and I drove the van, and one of those girls was always the last person on the bus or van. Now, 50 years later, one of those girls say, Pastor Stiles abused me when I was a child. I have to face those charges. When in New York State, you can defend yourself, but your reputation can be destroyed. It's a dangerous bill. Now, part of the reason for it is there's been a huge problem in the Catholic Church. Absolutely gigantic. I mean, 300 cases confirmed in Pennsylvania, over 125 in the Diocese of New York. I'm not sure if that's the whole state or just downstate, down in the city. But just huge numbers of people that have been abused. And now you're seeing ads based on this act on TV, lawyers saying, if you were abused as a child, there's a new law, we can help you. And of course, lawyers are hoping to get a cut of whatever you get out of that. It's not just in the Catholic Church, to fairness. We've had some Baptists that have gotten in trouble too. Some of them have indeed abused children. Legalizing of recreational use of marijuana failed in the legislature. They did decriminalize it, so it's no longer against the law to have a small portion, but they did stop. Why would the state of New York want to legalize marijuana? We already have a drug problem. Why would we want another one? Because we can tax it. And their whole focus is in how do we tax it? And the reason it didn't go through is they couldn't quite figure out how they're going to tax it and regulate it. And the New York Sheriff's Association said, please don't do this. The New York State Police Association said, please don't do this. The chief of police, our police chiefs said, please don't do this. The health department said, please don't do this. But I wouldn't be surprised if they don't do it next year. They certainly are going to be working on it. SAFE Act 2. SAFE Act 1 had a lot of restrictions on the Second Amendment, the right to carry arms. SAFE Act 2, under SAFE Act 1, a principal of a school could authorize someone to carry a weapon. Now, don't tell me you're carrying, but under the law before, Pastor or Mr. Fry could write a letter saying you were authorized to carry. Technically, this building has a school, so it's still considered a school building. If you're carrying a gun without that letter, you could be in trouble. Well, under SAFE Act 2, they said that part is no longer true. You can't do that. No letter, nobody can bring a gun except a policeman on active duty. That's a terrible idea. I would much rather see a sign on a church door or school door that said some of these teachers are armed than to see none of these teachers are armed. This is a gun-free zone. Because almost all these mass shootings, where do they happen? In gun-free zones. Why? Because the people shooting kids are cowards. That's why. So they know there's nobody there that's going to be able to shoot back. There have been a number of cases in the last year in different places. It doesn't make the news much where somebody armed stopped an armed intruder before they could kill a lot of people. Paper bags are going to be more common. Your plastic bags, beginning, I think it's next March, they're given some time for the stores to adjust. And then the towns can charge you if they want to and get a tax on paper products. No plastic bags. So if you have a dog, save your bags now because you're going to have some problems collecting them. Now, having said it's okay to kill baby humans, we're protecting baby chicks. I don't think this bill passed, but a lot of schools hatch eggs. And the baby chicks end up in the garbage can. And the sponsor of the bill said, this is a horrible thing. It's cruel. By the way, he voted for killing the babies. That's cruel to, they did pass, it's now illegal in New York State to declaw your cat. So we can't declaw the cat, but we can kill the baby human. So it's just absolutely crazy. They managed to give themselves a pay raise this year. They did some manipulations on sitting legislature cannot give itself a raise, but they can give the next legislature. So they serve 2 years. So this year, legislature can give a raise to the next session or the people that serve. Of course, most of it, 95% of it is the same people. Well, none of them want to face voters saying we voted ourselves a raise. So what they did is they set up a commission. The commission would advise them on how to do this, and then they approved it, and they ended up with going from 79,500 to, I think it's 130. Increased by 2021. This has been repeated. This Mayor de Blasio is running for president. In the debates, he made this same kind of statement. The truth that, brothers and sisters, there's plenty of money in this world, plenty of money in this city, it's just in the wrong hands. Now, what he means by that is you have it and we need it. So there's plenty of money, and that's because it's giveaway. If you watch the debates, we're going to, you know, 20 guys up there. One guy spoke out about saying socialism is not a good idea, and he was almost booed off the stage, and I don't even remember his name. He's not going anywhere. So what that was really the start of the year. At the end of the session, it gets wild. They finished. They're not due back until next January, so thankfully for that. Toward the end of the session, they passed sometimes 100 bills a day. One of the legislatures I know, Assemblyman, said that we don't even have time to read that many bills, let alone vote on them. So they're just handed by the leaders, and they're just voting, bang, bang, bang. They went right through. One of them is the immunization bill. On Thursday morning, nobody thought it would pass. Thursday afternoon, it did pass. By evening, the governor had signed it, and it took effect the next day. So that is a bill that we're dealing with, and it's causing some problems for our Christian schools. So what should believers do? What should we do about all this? I mean, we're living in a state that's getting increasingly hostile toward Christians. In fact, the governor recently said only extremist religious people could object to our aggressive agenda. Well, if that's true, then I'm an extremist. He's also made this statement, if you're pro-life, pro-gun, there's really no place for you in New York. That seems to be his goal of driving us out. What should we do? Give up? Well, the obvious answer, first of all, is we ought to pray. We ought to pray for the governor. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if Andrew Cuomo got up and gave a speech and said, before I tell you what I came to tell you, I want you to know what happened last night. I received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us we ought to pray for those in authority. And I think one of the things we ought to pray for is their salvation. I think you ought to pray for President Trump. I think you ought to pray for his safety. An awful lot of people hate the man. And I think we need to be praying for our president, vice president, senators, etc. What should we do? Well, turn your Bible to Psalm 37. We're going to look at a psalm that was written during a time when it appears that things were going rough for believers. It was written by King David. It was written toward the end of his reign. He reigned for 40 years. Verse 25 says, I have been young and am now old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. There are some things that you can only learn in life by having some years behind you. I personally believe David was an old man when he wrote Psalm 23. I think he one day in the palace was reflecting about the good old days when he was just a shepherd, taking care of some sheep instead of the king, taking care of the whole nation. And I think he looked back and he said, you know, surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. If you're a believer, I think you probably can do the same thing. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. Well, it's easy to fret. Here's what it says. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as a noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. So the first thing we are told, I jumped one there. First thing, there's a series of commands. I'm just going to look at part of the verse right now. Fret not. It's very easy to worry. Fretting about, you look at the world. I think one of the worst things you can do for, as far as your sleep is concerned, is watching the evening news just before you go to bed. It'll get you depressed. Or you get to worrying about it. And part of what happens in the Psalms, this is an issue that comes up once in a while in the Psalms, is the godly man looks around and he says, the ungodly are prospering and I'm struggling. Why is that? you know, the ungodly, he's doing all these things, smokes, drinks, does everything else, and still he seems to have a better lifestyle, income than I do. He's healthy and I'm sick, and it's easy to get to comparing to others, and this is something that the psalmist struggled with, both Asaph and David, about the prosperity of the wicked. And we're living in a time when it seems like evil's triumphing. It seems like sometimes, and you know, it can't even be slowed down. What does God say? Fret not. Fret not. Now, I'm going to show you, we're going to do an experiment. For the next few seconds, I don't want you to think about ice cream. I don't want you to think about a hot fudge sundae with whipped cream, cherry on top. Don't think about that. Don't think about a hot fudge sundae. Anybody successful? There's no way of doing that unless you think about something else. Okay, so what's the alternative to fretting? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. See, when we're fretting, we're really not trusting in God. We're trusting either in ourselves or on other, and that can't solve the problem. I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed. The politicians can't solve the problems of America. Only God can do that. Our national motto is "In God We Trust." It's time we started doing that again. As Christians, we need to trust God. We need to trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. Trust. Trust. Don't fret. Trust. Trust. You're facing a crisis. What do? Don't fret. Trust in the Lord. And then verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah 8:10 says. When David sinned his great sin, the first thing he asked her after forgiveness was, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." You and I ought to rejoice. We have a Father in heaven that loved us so much. He sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins. He said if we'd believe, we'd have everlasting life. We have a home in heaven. I've read the last chapter of the book. It turns out real good. So we ought to delight in the Lord. One day the king's coming back. He's going to straighten out the whole mess. Praise God. I enjoyed your song service tonight. I'm in churches sometimes where they sing like they don't believe it. Or they sing songs that say the same thing seven times, you know. Well, it's refreshing. I hadn't heard some of the songs you sang tonight, but, you know, it's because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We have a reason for rejoicing and delighting in the Lord. Then it says in verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't know which direction to take. Commit your way into the Lord. Just commit it to him. Take your problem, whatever it is, and just commit it to him. Lord, here's the problem. You know, I was at a dealership the other day getting my car worked on, and I reminded the Lord, it's your car, Lord. And if the bill's big, you're going to have to pay it. You know, I know it's a stewardship. You're giving it to me, and I'm trying to take good care of it. But, Lord, this is your car. You know, you commit it to the Lord. You're facing illness. Lord, this is your body. I'm yours, Lord. You can do what you want, but it sure be nice, you know, if you'd heal me. But even if you don't, I'm going to serve you. Commit your way unto the Lord. In verse 7, this is a tough one, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. We want to help God out sometimes. Now, we have a responsibility. I'm not suggesting you just lay back and let things happen. But I am suggesting there's times when you just say, all right, Lord, here it is, and you leave it with him. You know, a lot of young people at camp present their life on the altar and then immediately take part of it back. And we kind of criticize the kids for that, but we do the same thing. We commit it to the Lord, and then we try to work it out. Abraham decided to help God out. The promise was, you're going to have multiple seed. His years had passed, no child. And so he says, Sarah says, let's help God out. You lay with my handmaid and have a child by her. We're still paying for that mistake. it doesn't work out because he did it in the flesh. When you do things in the flesh, you get in trouble. It doesn't work out well. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. And then fret not is repeated again in verse 7. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not. So we've got this repeated again. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. I don't like to wait. Do you? I mean, if I have an appointment, I if someone's coming to see me, I try to be on time. At churches, I try to be a half hour early to be there because I think that's important. But I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait at lights. At West Seneca, there was a corner where three roads converged, and if you got the light wrong, it was bad. So I learned to overcome that impatience by having a book, and just when you stop at the light, if it was wrong, I just read the book. You don't even have to watch the light because the guy behind you will tell you. No, I'm kidding. I won't take that serious, okay? But you get the point. Have you noticed, I like the testimony, God was on time, but you know, I've noticed he's very seldom on my time schedule. He just, Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus, our brother lay sick. And Jesus delays coming, and when he comes, both of them meet him separately, and both of them kind of imply, Lord, you're late. You're too late. He's dead. If you'd have just been here, Lord, but you were late. Well, it's because he had something better in mind. It'd be a cool thing to have your brother healed, but man, having your brother rise from the dead, I mean, that's something. God's way is always best. You can trust him. Even when you don't understand. I learned a long time ago, although God invites me to pray, he really doesn't need my counsel. When my dad was, when I was 13, I grew up on a farm. Dad broke his leg and was laid up for quite a while, a very serious break. It was over, I think it was a couple of years healing from that, maybe even longer than that, probably residual. His leg was crushed by a cow that fell on him. I helped get the cow off, by the way, and helped Dad into the barn, and we got help and all of that. My dad read the book of Job, and so, teenage boy, I decided I'd read the book of Job, and I didn't get it. I mean, I read through it, and Job loses everything. It says, still blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's really admirable. Chapter 3, wants to die. Wishes he had never been born. Chapter 4, his friends come, and the rest of the book is primarily his friends telling him what a rotten guy he is, and Job defending himself, I'm not all that bad. Then Elihu, the fourth friend, speaks, and his answers are a little better, but then God speaks, and when God speaks, have you noticed, he doesn't give Job the answer. Now, he must have revealed it later, because I think Job's the author of the book, but the last chapter, 40, he gets double what he had before. It's kind of a, God asked him a series of questions. Were you there when I created the world? Were you there when I did that? Were you there? Did you give me counsel? And Job ends up saying, now I understand. What did you understand? It took me years. Finally understood. God doesn't need our counsel. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants to do. He's in charge. We're not. It's a tough lesson to learn. Waiting patiently. Fret not. Cease from anger. Well, those are all commands. Positively, one is negative. Fret not. The others are all positive. We'll move along rather quickly here. Fret not. Why? Why shouldn't we fret? Because evildoers, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. Evil can triumph for a time, but only for a time. There are seasons of life that are good and bad. For Job, a season of trial was followed by a season when God gave him double what he had before. For Joseph, he was sold into slavery by his own brothers. falsely accused, ends up in prison. One season is in prison, the next season he's in a palace. David is one season taking care of sheep, and the next season he's the king of Israel. You can go through a lot of the Bible like that and see that seasons of life, God, it does work out. God does judge evil. Adolf Hitler was going to build a 1,000-year Reich. The word Reich means kingdom. Where do you think he got a 1,000-year kingdom from? Or the idea of it. It didn't last 1,000 years. God put a stop to it. So far, no farther. Evil can triumph and go so far, and then God says, that's enough. That's enough. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, I think that's a promise for Israel. I got Elliot Spitzer in there. I forgot. Elliot Spitzer is the one that declared war on babies. A few weeks later, he had to resign in disgrace. God has a way of taking care of things. He has a way of catching up with evil. Trust in the Lord and do good, and thou shalt dwell in the land. Now, I think it's a promise for Israel. The promises to Israel had to do with the land. The promises for us have to do with heaven. Theirs are earthly, ours are heavenly. But, you know, we're gonna end up with a new body. A lady in West Seneca had brain cancer. She had 2 teenage kids, and I happened to come to see her right when the doctor was telling her the news that it was terminal. That nothing could do for her. She could fight it with chemo or radiation, or she could just accept it and take the natural consequences. And when he finished talking, I stood outside the door. The door was partially open so I could hear, but I waited because I thought she might need me. And I walked in. She was crying. I don't blame her. I'd be crying too. And she said, Pastor, what am I going to do? I said, Lori, I don't know what to tell you. But one thing I can tell you, either way, you win. Why do you say that? Well, what happens when you die? I'm going to heaven. You win. Cancer doesn't win. Barb's mom, in some of her lucid moments, is talking about, how long do I have to live? She's wanted me to give her a date. Can you tell me what's the date when I'm going to die? I want to put it on the calendar. Mom, nobody knows that. But what happens when you die? Well, I'm going to heaven. That's if you've got that, you know, if you've settled that, well, you can handle anything down here. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, that's kind of a trick, because what he does is he changes your desires to line up with his will. Doesn't mean he's Santa Claus going to give you everything you want. What it does mean, if you're delighting in the Lord, he'll give you exactly what you need to serve and honor him. Commit thy way unto the Lord. What'll happen? He'll bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord. Repeats that. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Why? They're going to be cut down. Even their evil schemes are going to fail. Counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The counsel of man, that falls apart. Working with the state ed department, I don't know how many plans for educational standards they've had. Each new scheme is going to solve the education crisis in New York. Each scheme fails one at a time. You talk to a teacher who's been at it 30 years, they probably had at least 29 plans for saving teaching. Just cease. Fret not. Just fret not. That's the message here. Fret not. The picture is the 3 Hebrew children, actually young adults, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They stand before the king with a great multitude, and the king gives the order. When the band plays, you're to bow and worship my image. These 3 men stand saying, we can't do that. They are caught, brought before the king. The king explains it again to them. Maybe you didn't understand. You either fall and worship, or I'm throwing you in the fiery furnace. That is typically what the state does in matters. It's a matter about worshiping the state instead of God. President Trump a while back said, we in America, we worship God, not government. But a lot of people do worship government. In any event, if you don't bow, I'm throwing you in the furnace. And what God is able to take you, deliver you out of my hand? They said, O king, live forever. They were respectful. The God we serve, he's able. But even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. So they tossed him in the furnace. You know the story. King looked in and he said, did not we throw three men in? Yet I see four men walking around, the fourth man like the Son of God. And he calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come forth. So help me. If it had been me, I'd have told the king, come on in. It's never going to get better than this. I mean, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. They're walking, fellowshipping with the Son of God in the midst of the flame. You know, I've noticed in times when the flame is hot, that's when we're the closest to the Lord. That's been true in my life, hasn't it been in yours? Well, they came forth. What's the message of that? Fret not. Fret not. Fret not. Trust in the Lord and do good. Thank you, Father, for this church, a lighthouse in this community for a lot of years. Thank you for the dedication of people working not only in Vacation Bible School this next week, and we pray your blessing upon that outreach, but also people that are faithful working in this school, the church, people that are serving in Sunday school. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless them and help us, Lord, in these days to stand firm on our convictions and to fret not, but to trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.